We are the kick around, and I'm sure over the course of the 5 years or so we've been doing this show, I have mentioned at least once or a half billion times. Not only is it my favorite soccer movie of all time, it is the media content that really solidified soccer as a legitimate sport in my life. 1981, I was, I don't even know if I was a teenager at this point, but I was playing a little bit, but not seriously. And then this movie came out that I got interested in because it had Sylvester Stallone, who obviously had risen to fame due to Rocky, and probably Rambo at that point. And I really was interested in seeing this movie. And from there on, I've seen it a bunch of times, although I've not seen it in many years. It stuck with me. Because when I saw it, and I saw all of these soccer players doing soccer things in the story, I just thought that was super cool, especially because of Pele.
Mm-hmm.
So I, realizing that you were going to come in and do this, I thought, man, wouldn't it be great if Mike Reiner got to watch Victory, or as it was originally titled, Escape to Victory, watched it and did a review of this great movie on the soccer show. So, Michael, last night, somehow, we got you a copy on iTunes. You didn't watch it on your iPad, did you?
No.
You watched it on tele. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I was worried after we were trading texts, you were going to have to watch it on an iPad.
It was looking that way for a while, but we got it all worked out.
All right. Now, you didn't know anything about this movie going into it other than it had something to do with soccer, correct?
Correct. I don't remember when this was out. It did not cross my radar screen even in the slightest. And this is my first real cognizant thought about it. I was watching it last night.
Well, for many people like me, it is quintessential soccer content.
And I understand why.
So would you like to henceforth with your review of Victory?
Well, I thought it was a very, very good film. I mean, anything that has Stallone with his serious fastball, the great Michael Caine, and Max von Sydow in there, you know, I'm all over that. Plus, you've got the whole World War II connection with the Nazis and everything, and the guys in prison camp who would love to get out of there, and they come up with this plan to help them to that end. You've got all manner of old-time trains and stuff in there. I love that.
Right.
And there was a lot that drew me into this, for sure. There was a lot to make it interesting to me and a lot to keep me watching it.
There are a lot of people who say it's not just a great soccer movie. It's a great movie, period. Like the plot and the direction and all the filming and stuff is really, really good.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good story. You've got great actors in it. Those are good performances. And I mean, solid performances by all of those guys that I just mentioned and others as well.
Right.
And yeah, it kept my attention throughout. Thought it was quite good all the way through.
So the premise of the movie, if you've never seen it, essentially is the Germans have occupied France, and they have all these POWs, and as part of a propaganda event or campaign, the Germans decide they're going to host a soccer game between the German national team and a team made up of POWs. And they hire, or they get Michael Caine, who was a former West Ham player. His character was a former West Ham player at the time,
mm-hmm.
to coach the team of all these, you know.
Colby.
Yep, Colby. And
I kept thinking they were saying Corby.
God, wouldn't that have been awesome if they were saying Corby? And, of course, it's this ragtag bunch of POWs, which, by the way, if you didn't know this, most of these guys are guys who played for Ipswich Town, which at the time was one of the bigger, more successful clubs in England. Right now, not so much. And so a lot of these guys are in there, but there are some noted soccer players of different levels of fame, the most obvious one being Pele,
mm-hmm.
who, by the way, they portray as being Trinidadian, not Brazilian. What's
right.
his name in the movie? It's, I can't believe I'm forgetting.
Rick.
No, it's not Rick.
Could be.
You don't know that.
Luis Fernandez. Thank you. And Stallone is in this movie because he's the American POW who has like an, I think, again, I haven't seen this movie in like 10 years, but he's got an escape plan. And doesn't he get out? He gets out.
He gets out, but he has to go back.
He has to go back because the people that end up getting him out are like, no, you need to get the rest of these people out. We've got a plan to get everybody out.
Yeah.
And we need you to go back. So he allows himself to get recaptured, and he goes back in and gets thrown in solitary. But here's the part of the movie that stuck with me forever. And anybody that's of my age who was a young kid in 1981 when this came out, he has to be part of the team that plays in the game. He's their backup goalkeeper. Stallone's never played a minute of soccer in his life, whether he's the character or the real guy, right?
Right.
And what do you think of Sly Stallone's goalkeeping skills?
They didn't give me pause, really.
Okay, he's really poor, but it's okay. And by the way, did you notice what I'm wearing today?
Yes.
This is the Sly Stallone goalkeeping shirt.
Yes,
I actually have one of these.
Wow.
It's one of my favorite things I own in the world. Anyway, so they have to get him to be on the team that plays in the big game, even as a backup. He has to be there to execute this escape for all these players. So here comes the moment in the movie. They have to break the arm of the starting goalkeeper so that he can be in the game.
Yes.
Unfortunately, he didn't break his arm in the course of practice or a game. His arm is perfectly good. Tell the good P1 what happens.
Let's see. They made him put his arm between... What was
bed slats.
Yeah, bed slats.
Between two bed slats.
Two bed slats. And they whacked it.
And they just snap it in two.
Yeah, just snapped it. Just whacked it.
With like a broom or...
In my head, didn't they kick it? Didn't they, stomp it?
Yeah, they stomped it.
Yeah, so they take a mattress off of a prison bed, and it's got these wooden slats, and they stick his arm across it, and he has to sacrifice this to make this escape work so that Sylvester can be in the game. So they break his arm. Now they've got to take Stallone out of confinement. They all go to the stadium. At halftime, what's happening at halftime? They've lost. They're losing. The good guys are losing to the Germans 4-1 at halftime.
And where do...
When they're supposed to escape at this point.
Oh, yeah.
Did you fall asleep during the movie?
No, I didn't fall asleep.
You probably didn't pay attention to the soccer action.
I'm just having a hard time putting it together.
Right. So halftime happens, and this is when they're supposed to escape, is at halftime. They've been drilling under the stadium into the shower room, right?
Right.
But all the players are like, no, we're in this game. We can do this.
Oh, yeah, they get into it.
They get into a big argument.
Yeah, the game started, and then, they got into it.
Right. And they really want to complete the game.
Yeah.
So they go back out in the second half, and they end up, it's the most soccer result of all time. Pele, what happened? What does Pele do?
He's the hero.
By doing what?
A bicycle kick.
Yes! The iconic bicycle kick to draw the game and fight back to a 4-4 draw. Now, obviously the controversy, there was no VAR back in the time. They had a goal disallowed because obviously the referees were on the take for the Germans.
Of course.
They should have won the game 5-4. Mm-hmm. But in the... onslaught of all the fans rushing the field in the 4-4 draw, they all end up escaping anyway.
That's fortuitous.
Happy ending.
Yes, very fortuitous.
What'd you think, Mr. Reiner?
I liked it. I don't know if I'm, as gaga over it as you. What I want to know is, how did this get you into soccer?
Well, I was playing at the time, but there were soccer stars in the game, Pele in particular, because you got to remember at the time, Pele was like a huge deal in the United States.
Now, were you already following the game?
Well, there wasn't much to follow because the there was some tornado stuff in NASL, but I was 11 or 12 at the time. So, there was only so much following of especially overseas soccer you could do at that point. Most of it was if you happened to catch it on ABC's Wide World of Sports or something.
Yeah.
But it was just watching some of the action and the play and the filming of the movie that really kind of grabbed my eye personally. And as I got more and more into the sport, my affection for the movie grew over time, just because it was one of the first very connective things to soccer as a little kid that I remember.
Okay, what was the next connective thing for you after that movie? I mean, if that sort of piqued your interest, what kept your interest?
Wow, that's a really good question. There's a weird gap of time because when NASL died in the United States, and then there was all that was left was a little bit of, we're way behind, aren't we? Yeah. How about let's do this? Let's take a break and we can come back and we can reminisce about that coming up next.
Okay.
All right, we'll do that. All right, more soccer talk with Mike Reiner next on The Kick Around.